Buying or selling a home can be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. Heritage Realty makes buying and selling easy. With Heritage Realty, you get local market expertise, one-on-one service, and the support of a network of agents across the area. Heritage Realty cares about the details and goes above and beyond to deliver the service you need. Knowledge is power. Trust Heritage Realty to buy or sell your home. For the newest listings and detailed market reports, visit heritagerealtyknox.com. Heritage Realty, where today's technology meets traditional customer service.
All right, how about it? Good morning, good morning, 602. It is your Wednesday, August 10th edition of the Starting Lineup. One more time. Fantastic Wednesday ahead of you today here on the Starting Lineup, but we're not going to waste another second more. If what you miss from your Tuesday, we head into your Wednesday. This is your morning buzz here on the Starting Lineup. Eric Kane, good morning to you, dude. Hey, yesterday in the scrimmage, and I know we're getting into a lot of that coming up today during the program, the recap, everything that you missed from yesterday. It seems that Jeremy Banks had himself quite the day. Nice little interception in the flat there against Hendon Hooker. Jeremy Banks, the guy was second last year in tackles in the SEC, expected to have another large season, his fifth senior year here at the University of Tennessee. A lot of highlights yesterday during the scrimmage as well, but Jeremy Banks, one of those highlights yesterday during that first organized scrimmage there at Neyland Stadium.
Yeah, the way that Josh Heupel kind of described the play, saying, read the play, got out there in the flat, made the pick. And, you know, Jeremy Banks is the middle linebacker. So even if there's trips out to the left and you're bumped out a little bit, I mean, that's a good read. That's a quick burst to get out there and make that play. And then since he put video out of it as well. So very athletic play, very instinctive play. Jeremy Banks is a really, really good player, and he'll be a tackle machine for the University of Tennessee this year. A federal judge on Tuesday denied a temporary restraining order to three golfers who were seeking to participate in the FedEx Cup playoffs, of course, after leaving the PGA Tour for the Upstart Live Golf Invitational Series. Those three players, Taylor Gooch, Matt Jones, and Hudson Swafford, looking to play in the first leg of the playoffs this week's FedEx St. Jude's Championship at TBC Southwind. Of course, that looks like it is not going to happen. So we continue to see more and more of these players trying to sue the PGA Tour, trying to get back into play into some of these majors, but PGA Tour doing everything they can in their power to say, nah, we are not about that.
Hey, I wonder if this, again, I asked the same question I asked Will yesterday. Is this going to get messier before it gets better?
100%. Absolutely this is going to get messier. I mean, eventually I think it'll all be resolved, but I mean, maybe not for years down the line, but the PGA Tour is pretty firm in their stance. They're not going to allow it. They're suspended. So I think it's 100% going to be messy. I think we're going to see more lawsuits.
To the National Football League, L.A. Rams coach Sean McVay has announced that he has signed a contract extension this offseason, but the team was waiting to announce it until general manager Les Snead signed an extension as well, which has not happened yet. So it was during his first press conference of training camp that McVay was asked about a possible contract extension, which he said, quote, "We are in a good place. I feel really good about the direction that's going in, and I think it'll be something that me and Les, you know, once we get things finalized, you guys will know about the finalization." So, of course he is. There was already that talk about a contract extension. Kaner, they're coming off a Super Bowl victory. It only made sense that this was actually going to go down. So, good on Sean McVay. The next question is, if McVay is getting paid off a Super Bowl victory, there's a couple of other coaches that come to mind as well who are probably up for another payday as well.
Yeah, true, but they didn't just come off a Super Bowl championship. So, of course, McVay's getting taken care of. And I got to say, man, football players, football coaches, they are so funny. Wasn't the talk, and of course, there's always talk. A lot of it's Hail Mary. A lot of it's speculation off one quote, indirect quote at one point in time. But wasn't the talk about going into the Super Bowl week that Sean McVay might be done?
Yeah.
Wasn't the talk about Aaron Donald was he might be done? Both of those guys have gotten paid this offseason, and deservedly so. I'm not saying they shouldn't be. Aaron Donald's best football player on the planet. But it's just kind of funny how the business side of things affects football from one, you know, maybe one half of the year to another. But Sean McVay's getting paid. Hopefully we'll know the years and the dollar amounts here in the next few days. And then finally,
Pause you real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
He became the youngest coach ever to win the Super Bowl. They have not missed the playoffs since he took over the gig in 2017. Any chance Stan Kroenke makes him the highest paid coach in the National Football League?
Who is the highest paid coach right now?
It's Belichick, is it not?
Belichick, and then I would assume that Mike Tomlin, Pete Carroll are probably up there as well.
I thought it was Belichick. I thought it went Belichick, Carroll, Harbaugh, and then maybe Tomlin's in there as well.
I would say no, not the highest paid coach, but the way contracts work, the way inflation is right now, potentially, and again, very, very deserving. Youngest coach to ever coach in a Super Bowl as well a couple years ago when Jared Goff was his starting quarterback. That in itself deserved a big pay raise.
I mean,
when he
got hired in 20, I'm trying to do the math right now. It's 2022, right? He's 35. Yeah. He got hired in 17 when he was 30 years of age. He was the young, I mean, like,
there were players on the team that were older than he was.
No, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, knowing him, because you know they have that thing where, like, if you know Sean McVay, you get a head coaching job. It's kind of like that whole Peyton Manning thing from, like, 12 years, 15 years ago. Man, I swear to you, I don't know what's going to be bigger. The sound coming off the train in the background or this contract that's coming up.
And obviously, too, it's good that y'all he finally got that Super Bowl win as well, because the talk was as well a little bit overrated, but yep. Got the Super Bowl championship. It's
point
all
made.
Good now.
Yep.
When now we head to the tennis court, an absolute icon made an announcement that she plans to retire from the sport sometime following the U.S. Open. That would be one Serena Williams, accumulated 23 Grand Slams so far in her career, over $100 million in prize money throughout her tenure. Burst onto the scene, I believe, as a 17-year-old. Of course, her and twin sister Venus. But Serena Williams looking to be calling it a career. She doesn't like the word retire. Maybe refocus her priorities in life is kind of how she described it to Vogue. But the sport's going to take a hit here in the next few months.
When it comes to property management, when it comes to extending the revenue, when it comes to the future of your money, you need to trust a company, a business, somebody who can be able to use the technology and be able to use almost 50 years of combined experience. That's the team at Heritage Realty. Here we sit this morning at 6:09. We got ourselves some things we got to get to today, including overall looking at the SEC predictions that are coming out of Sporting News this morning. Not only that, from the impact of transfers that are coming into the 14 SEC schools, and who do they have ranked as the best games on the calendar this year throughout the Southeastern Conference. We'll tell you that next here on the Starting Lineup. 99.1, you're listening to the Esports Animal.
Yeah, just mentioned there in the buzz, but tennis icon Serena Williams announced she plans to retire from the sport sometime after the U.S. Open. Williams has accumulated 23 Grand Slam titles, collected over $100 million in prize money throughout her storied career. Sean McVay of the L.A. Rams has signed a contract extension, this coming after winning the Super Bowl last season. The terms and length of the contract extension have not yet been made public. Bears Pro Bowl linebacker Roquan Smith has requested a trade away from the team. Smith has recorded over 100 tackles in each season since being drafted in 2018, has collected 14 career sacks. And on the diamond, the Braves outlasted the Red Sox in Fenway 9-7 in 11 innings. The Mets down the Reds 6-2. The Nationals topped the Cubs 6-5. And the Mariners got by the Yankees 1-0 in 13 innings. SEC football predictions, standings, breakout stars, important games, all that from Athlon coming up next here on TSL. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
All right, 6:16. As we sit here this morning, Will West, we're 22 days away until it's football time in Tennessee.
Goodness gracious. It's coming up quick.
Am I doing that math right? There's no way it's 22 days, right? It's 3 weeks from tomorrow. Wow.
Yeah.
22 days, dude. Here we sit here as Tennessee, and I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know if you've seen some of the comments from Greg McElroy doing his showdown, whether it's in Birmingham or whether he's on SEC Network. Greg McElroy believes that there's a chance that this Tennessee offense could be impossible to stop this year. So a lot of people see what happened with the scrimmage yesterday. We already touched on that a little bit. Caner's practice report coming up in hour number two. A lot of people also very amped up to what this offense could look like in 2022.
All right, sporting news. Bill Bender laid out his SEC predictions for the upcoming year. He has Tennessee second in the East. Yet again.
You asked again, is it going to be the media or the coaches who have this Tennessee team pegged?
Literally everybody at the coaches poll voters that has Tennessee. The coaches poll voters have Tennessee at 7-5. It looks like outside the top 25, but Pitt and Kentucky are ranked ahead of them, which do the math, that means 7-5. Bender has Tennessee second, and that's either 9-3 or 8-4, depending on how you look at it.
Right.
Are you surprised to see Tennessee that high?
Not at all. No, because you know what? I'm starting to believe the hype. I'm starting to now that it gets closer to football time, I'm starting to see that it's getting to a point in time now where you either get on board or get off the boat. And I want to be on the boat because I want to not have to swim. And I want to make it seem like I know what I'm talking about when this Tennessee team starts exploding. Now, am I going to sit here on the same page as a lot of people will and say they're going to start breaking the 8 records they set last year offensively? I'm not going to go that far. But I think this year that Josh Heupel, another year with Hendon Hooker, more of these players in his system,
I think they're going to be able to execute it a lot better than they did last year.
I just think that I'm surprised to have seen this from the coaches poll, and it'll be interesting when we see the AP poll come out to see if the voters just are saying, Tennessee, you got to show me.
Yep.
And I don't think it's the end of the world for Tennessee people to say, Tennessee, you got to show me. But the consensus opinion's going to be around college football that Tennessee is the number two team in the SEC East.
As they should be.
And that probably points to an 8-9-10 win season. If it's 8, man, that would be a bad year for the SEC East. I don't think it comes to that.
Yep.
9 or 10 win season, most likely, if you end up second in the SEC East. So there was also one nugget that I thought was very interesting from Bill Bender's setup for this. One, when he starts talking about Heisman hopefuls from the SEC, he has number one, Bryce Young, who just won it. Makes sense. Will Anderson, makes sense. Number three was Hendon Hooker on that
list. There it is.
Are you starting to believe your own hype now?
About Hendon,
just going out on a limb months ago and saying that this could happen.
Yeah, it was at the beginning of the year. And I said bold prediction was for the year. And look, a bold prediction, you got to probably get a puncher's chance of getting right, right? I just said Hendon Hooker would win the Heisman. The reason why is I was looking at Southern quarterback who plays for a team that wins 9 games or more.
Check.
Who people aren't expecting to be just, you know, a video game numbers that does put up video game numbers. And the only one I could find was Hendon Hooker.
I think it adds up. Now, I'm ready to say seat at the table in New York before we're talking about going to the stage and accepting an award.
Yeah.
But you know what? Getting to New York, when was the last time you had somebody get to New York?
Yep.
Oh, wait. 1997, which, by the way, sidebar, if we can get off on the interstate, listening and reading to all these Big Ten ESPN separation conversations with the television deal that's getting ready to happen, and they're going to leave for Fox, NBC, CBS. A lot of people talking about how can you let 40 years of what the Big Ten has done go down the drain, especially after you officially screwed Peyton Manning out of the 1997 Heisman Trophy, but continue.
But they've been juicing up SEC players since. So, and that's what it comes down to.
Has
back
turned.
Then, they had the Big Ten contracts, so they juiced up the Big Ten. They were probably more effective in affecting the sports media world with their own promotional yep. campaigns. But if you remember when he was a freshman, when Jalen Hurts was throwing for like 1,700 yards, they were trying to juice Jalen Hurts up to win the Heisman Trophy,
yep.
right? And say, well, look at everything that he does. Like, get out of swing passes. That's what he does, swing passes.
Two steps.
Hurts got better, but he was a freshman, and that's just all he could bring to the table. The thing that I thought was the most interesting about this piece from Bender, number one, biggest games in the SEC of 2022. Number one, A&M Alabama. Makes sense, right?
Of course.
Alabama, Georgia don't play this year.
Rivalry.
Yeah, and A&M just knocked off Alabama. Jimbo running his mouth. Yep. And Saban running his mouth. All of those things that happened. Will Anderson saying, let our play do the talking.
Yep.
The other one was, the number two was Tennessee against Georgia. The number two game in the SEC this year, Bill Bender says it's Tennessee versus Georgia. When I first saw that, I kind of did a double take. But then you start going through it. Arkansas, A&M, I would say Tennessee, Georgia's bigger.
Yep.
Florida, Georgia, I would say Tennessee, Georgia's bigger.
Absolutely.
Alabama, Ole Miss, I would say Tennessee, Georgia's bigger. So what's this? What other game would you choose the year?
I'm just looking at what Bill Bender wrote up. Alabama, Texas, A&M's 1-2 in the West. Tennessee, Georgia's 1-2 in the East.
Yeah.
Is it just who's going to finish gold, who's going to finish silver?
Yeah, I think so. And one, you have all of the promos being cut about Alabama and A&M. So, sure. Of course, that makes it number one. And A&M's beaten Alabama, right? Tennessee hadn't beat anybody with a pulse in a really long time. But it totally makes sense that number two is Tennessee against Georgia.
Right.
I didn't think about it. It didn't hit me at any point in time this year. But it makes absolute 100% sense that Tennessee versus Georgia would be the number two game in the SEC this year.
So I'm just going to ask right now because it's kind of the elephant in the room. If it is the second best game of the year, will Tennessee hold up their end of the bargain this year and compete as the second best game of the year?
Eric Kane, you and I were texting about this last night. You do not think that Tennessee is going to keep it particularly close in this one because they're just not there yet, right?
The game this year is in Athens, by the way, for those of you out there wondering.
No, I think overall to play four competitive, you know, quarters of football, I just, from a depth perspective, I just don't think Tennessee's there. And I understand that Georgia lost so much on defense. I get all that. I understand that Georgia is not flashy per se on offense, but you know what they have? They got players. They got quality depth. They got defensive linemen they can rotate in. They've got guys in the secondary that can come in and spell those starters. So from that perspective, I mean, I look for Tennessee to maybe, I mean, it was competitive for a quarter last year. You know, can you get it three quarters? I don't know. But I just think right now in year two, that won't particularly be, you know, a game that comes down to the fourth quarter.
I don't think Georgia's going to be as explosive offensively as they were last year, and they weren't incredibly explosive. I don't think Tennessee's going to be as bad defensively as they were. And I know Georgia's not going to be as good defensively, but they'll still be great. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
They were just 85 Bears last year.
Yep.
And I think Tennessee's going to be better offensively. I put all that together. I see what Eric's saying. I think this is a 2-touchdown, 17-point game, maybe even 21, that Tennessee keeps close for a couple of quarters. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. And I think with that offense, too, I mean, it's going to – again, I mean, this is no moral victories, but Tennessee was the only team in the regular season that led after one against Georgia last year. That offense, that tempo, if you execute it, come out and it'll punch you in the mouth. But good teams make adjustments. Good teams will go to the drawing board, figure some things out, and that's what Georgia will do. So for it to be the second biggest game in the SEC, I
just look at what's the other, because the East may hinge on it, right? And so I see why he's saying that. If Tennessee's finishing second in the East, Georgia's finishing first. You can't put it ahead of Alabama A&M, but your other games are who finishes second, who finishes third, who finishes fourth in their division, not the conference, their division.
Right.
So that's why you say this one. And if Tennessee is able to pull off the upset, that could be power shifting or balance shifting in college football, not just the conference.
Exactly.
I mean, in my opinion, honestly, I think a bigger game is Tennessee Kentucky than Tennessee Georgia.
Think so?
I mean, absolutely, because you're talking about. You know, I don't think Tennessee can win the East this year. Therefore, I think Tennessee can finish second. If Kentucky beats Tennessee, Kentucky might probably finish a second.
Yeah, if I'm being very honest, I think if Tennessee beats Georgia, they're still going to be a game behind Georgia. And Georgia finishes 11-1 and Tennessee finishes 10-2. If they beat Georgia and they still don't win the East.
Football, sometimes you stub your toe and everything. But, I mean, Tennessee's got 5 swing games. Georgia's going to win 5 of 5 and maybe set their toe once when they're expected to win.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The one thing that I do think I'm different on than a lot of other people is I don't see the scenario that Kentucky doesn't take a step back. Not a huge, but a couple games.
I just don't think Mark Stoops has got a back step in him. Well, I just think he's always been a 2 years ago they did,
right? And so you see them swing up and then swing back down because at Kentucky you can't afford, you don't get depth, right?
Right.
Like, because you don't get to recruit well enough. So that's the one thing. Now, I guess the scenario is, I shouldn't say I don't see this. The scenario is Will Levis is a top 5 pick guy. That's the scenario. Are you buying that happening, or is science bloody fiction?
I don't.
No, of course
not. See him, I don't see him as a great SEC quarterback. I don't see him as a great NFL talent.
So, because he's never done it.
Because he's never done it.
So that doesn't mean he can't. I mean, maybe this guy they brought in to be OC is the new Joe Brady, and this guy, he's the new Joe Burrow.
Hendon Hooker never did it before last year.
I know one thing about Will Levis. That's
true. Yeah, Hendon Hooker never did it before last year either.
I know what Will Levis does.
I also
TikTok dances. That's what I know Will Levis does.
And that makes me think he can't be a good quarterback.
Mayonnaise in his coffee, yeah.
Yeah, that makes me think he can't be a great quarterback because we've never seen one. That's been look at me guy that's a great quarterback.
No shower etiquette.
So that's the one thing that makes me think he can't. The other thing that makes me think that he's not going to is I just don't believe Mark Stoops is going to take the handcuffs off the offense. It's the same thing we've been talking about with Narduzzi, where now he did last year against Tennessee, but is he really going to be willing to for 12 games say go throw the ball 45 times?
Right.
And my defense is going to be gassed, and my defense is not going to be able to play at its best. I don't believe the defensive guy has that in their DNA.
That's what Wes Tyler Ivins. Kaner, we got an update from you coming up in the next 9 minutes. Not only that, but there's quite a few things that we have to get into all before Woodgen. Hour number one comes to an end on your Wednesday TSL 99.1. You're listening to the Sports Animal.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. Tennis star Serena Williams announced she plans to retire from the sport sometime after the U.S. Open. Williams has accumulated 23 Grand Slam titles, collected over $100 million in prize money throughout her storied career. In the NFL, Sean McVay of the LA Rams has signed a contract extension, this coming after winning the Super Bowl last season. The terms and length of the extension have not yet been made public. Bears Pro Bowl linebacker Roquan Smith has requested a trade away from the team. Smith has recorded over 100 tackles in each season since being drafted in 2018 and has collected 14 career sacks. And on the diamond, the Braves outlasted the Red Sox in Fenway 9-7 in 11 innings. The Mets down the Reds 6-2. The Nationals topped the Cubs 6-5. And the Mariners got by the Yankees 1-0 in 13 innings. This sports update's been brought to you by Fleet Tire. Fleet Tire's the one for all your Michelin tire needs. Exit 1B off 275 on East Bullen Avenue. 522-6486.
Talk about things that are going to get better before they get worse. We were just talking about the LIV Tour and PGA Tour right now. The judge, I'm automatically just handling that. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Will West, sounds like it's about to get worse for Deshaun Watson before it gets better.
Roger Goodell finally discussed this, and he has not as of yet. And if you don't know the situation, Deshaun Watson was given 6 games by the judge that was chosen to be the independent arbiter between the NFL and Deshaun Watson. The judge said he was guilty. And he did this, but based on past punishments for the NFL, she couldn't give more than six games.
She essentially followed the guidelines that they created.
Or precedent that they created.
The precedent, yes. Yeah.
Now the NFL is looking at it saying, we want more. And I'm trying to find a way to say this without saying it. Because I don't want to say something explicit on the air. People got kids. It's 6:30 in the morning. You're not trying to deal with something. Deshaun Watson didn't. Sometimes I think when we see sexual misconduct, we think somebody tried to get somebody to have sex with them. That's not what happened here. That also happened here, but there was at least, I think it's six of the women that he
allegedly,
or has paid people and was found guilty by this judge of bodily fluids leaving his body against someone's will on someone. Is that a way to, can I say that? I don't know if I can say that.
That sounds about as...
That's as clean as I can make it.
That's really what it is.
Yeah. That's the...
I'm sitting here trying to draw the parameters right now, and that's as clean as you can make
that's
it.
That's as clean as I knew how to make it. I'll say that. And so what he did was like, wow. You know what I mean? Like things you wouldn't think of doing.
Right.
And they want more than six games at the end of the day because they're going to get crushed for it. Now, the thing that a lot of people believe heading into it, Ivins, and you tell me if you believe this. A lot of people believe the NFL was willing to just send it to an independent arbiter because Roger Goodell, under the CBA, has a right to give Deshaun Watson anything he wants, any punishment he wants.
Correct.
But they don't want discovery because Jerry Jones has been accused of sexual misconduct, Robert Kraft. They don't want people being able to go into Robert Kraft's text messages, Jerry Jones' text messages, Roger Goodell's text messages. They don't want that to happen.
Every
discovery.
Corpse comes out if you do this.
Yes, if a lawsuit happens. Yeah. But the punishment they felt was so low that they're willing to go ahead and just accept that.
Yeah. And now they've said all the right things. We don't believe it should be this much, but I guess we'll take whatever the ruling is. We'll take this much, but we believe whatever the ruling is. Now, if you believe some of the things that have been reported, Schefter, Rappaport, some of the other people, the NFL had offered a plea bargain to Deshaun Watson. And Deshaun Watson's team said, we're not going to accept 9 games, or it was 12 games, excuse me. We're not going to accept 12 games, and we're not going to accept a fine of $10 to $12 million. Because the NFL also doesn't want to see him continue to collect every penny of that guaranteed contract that he got from the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
So there was a chance this could have been dealt with, swept under, move on, take your 12 games, give us your $10 to $12 million fine we're going to give you, and let's call it a day. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to go and find out what the judge's hearing is going to be. Will, why would they do that? Why would they do that? Because they've been negotiating this entire time, and there's no way that Deshaun Watson's people did not know that it was going to be the 6-game suspension handed down by this judge originally.
Now they have
this retired attorney general from Jersey who,
yep,
this is essentially makeup before Roger Goodell comes in and goes, thanks, you're gone for a year.
Yeah, or at least gives it. Here's the thing they also need. They need cover. Right.
That's what I think this attorney general ruling is. They need cover.
They need someone to say if the second person comes in and says it's less than a season, and Roger Goodell came out publicly yesterday and said for the first time, we think this deserves a full season suspension.
Right.
Now, let's be very honest. Everyone thinks this deserves a full season suspension, right?
Correct.
I don't know anybody saying that Deshaun Watson can never have a second chance. It's just a matter of 6 games.
Punishment should fit the crime.
Yeah, that's the issue. You got to do a little bit more than just 6 games for this one. But when she brought up Ray Rice, right, and Kareem Hunt and things like that, what the judge who made the initial ruling said makes sense of why she decided to do that, because the league was weak on this. The league's trying to not be weak on this, on violence towards women and sexual violence towards women. So the league is they're trying to work it out at the end of the day.
Have you ever played with a family member or been around a friend, board games, video games, and they make up the rules as they go?
Yeah.
We've all been a part of that one way or the other, right?
Yep.
Maybe you're playing poker with the boys. Maybe you're doing some kind of cornhole game. Maybe you're playing basketball, whatever it is. Will, my feeling on this is that the personal conduct policy in the National Football League has already been written, right? It's already been set. It's in stone. It's concrete. This independent judge who has already ruled a 6-game suspension for Deshaun Watson, she was essentially following the parameters and the guidelines of the current personal conduct policy that's in place. What's going to keep the representation of Deshaun Watson from waiting from this ruling, from whether it's the former attorney general in Jersey or if Goodell steps in after the makeup's all done and says, nope, I get the final ruling, you're getting a year? Would that not be them making up the rules on the fly as they go, the National Football League, it just seems like a lawsuit's going to follow from Deshaun Watson's camp.
When they signed the CBA, that was one of the first things that jumped out to me was, why in the world would you do this? Why would you? Because the CBA allows Roger Goodell to do anything he wants.
Exactly.
It's I think the verbiage is the commissioner's broad authority to levy any punishment that he sees fit.
Right.
Is I think what the verbiage says, if I can try to remember back to years ago. So I thought when this happened, I brought it up, and everybody was like, that's not a big deal. They're playing football. Who cares, right? And I was like, this is going to end up being a problem. Well, it ended up being a problem.
Exactly.
And what's interesting to me, though, is instead of Roger Goodell just saying 1 year, they decided to have someone else do it to make it look like it's an independent process. But also, I think the biggest thing is trying to make sure that they keep Jerry Jones' text messages out of the public. Because, one, there's probably something embarrassing there. Two, that embarrassing thing is going to end up going public.
Right. This is going to, again, I say it now for the second time in already 43 minutes, 38 minutes of our program. This is going to get messier before it gets better. Just like the LIV Golf and the PGA rulings that are happening in court right now, well, they're going to end up countersuing, and it's going to end up getting messy, and a lot of things are going to end up coming out of this. What will it be more? Every single email from the John Gruden situation with the Raiders? What more will it be? Something with Daniel Snyder and the Commanders? I just have a feeling that if they keep pushing this.
Oh, goodness. You're right. I even forgot about that. But Daniel Snyder, literally.
What happened to all the different emails that were supposed to come out with John Gruden?
Yep.
There's so much. This volcano is about to erupt, dude.
And again, if you remember the Washington Commanders at a time, there was a time where in their new ploy orientation, they would tell women don't go to this area of the of the Commanders facility because men will Daniel Snyder's friends will inappropriately touch you, so don't go in that area. So there are a lot of, and why is Daniel Snyder still there?
Yeah.
That's what the players are going to say, and that's fair. It's a very fair question.
How long until Goodell comes out and says it's a year?
One way or the other, they're going to get to 12 games. I don't know if they're going to get to a year, but one way or the other, I think they're going to get to 12 games. I think they would like to get to a year. They'll live with 12. Anything below 12, they know the public backlash is going to be horrendous.
NFL?
Yeah. I would say one thing that's not helping Deshaun Watson, and it's made me a little sad for where we are in the media. Time was, you sit down and answer that question, I'm going to ask you about it. You come here to have a mic in your face. You're getting asked every time you do something publicly. The media is going to do its job and hold the Browns accountable, hold the coaching staff accountable, hold Deshaun Watson accountable. We haven't seen enough of that yet. And I understand everyone said, well, let's wait and see how this plays out.
Sure.
But when it was Jameis, it was right there on ABC, you got to ask the question. And that's the job. And I'm a little concerned we don't have enough people doing the job when it comes to covering Deshaun Watson and the Browns.
That's Will West, Tyler Ivins. Update time, Eric Kane, 6:40 on your Wednesday morning. Woodger wraps up the opening hour of the starting lineup. Heard right here Monday through Friday on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Tennis icon Serena Williams announced she plans to retire from the sport sometime after the U.S. Open. Williams has accumulated 23 Grand Slam titles and over $100 million in prize money throughout her storied career. Sean McVay of the L.A. Rams has signed a contract extension, this coming after winning the Super Bowl last season. The terms and length of the extension have not yet been made public. And on the diamond, the Braves outlasted the Red Sox in Fenway 9-7 in 11 innings. The Mets down the Red 6-2. The Nationals topped the Cubs 6-5. And the Mariners got by the Yankees 1-0 in 13 innings. It is 6:41. We'll have Woodja coming up next here on TSL. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
All right, 6:47. Zenevo Chocolates on the line coming up at the beginning of hour number three of the program. Not only that, we got to go splitsies here. One win for me, one win for Will. Coming up in the next 45 minutes, it's going to be five burning questions here on your Wednesday starting lineup. Let's wrap up hour number one, boys, shall we? This is Woodja happening here on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Kaner, please.
All right, gentlemen, depth behind Jabari Small has been a question for more than a week since the transfer of Lynn J. Dixon. After Tuesday's scrimmage, who would you say is the number two back on the Vols depth chart?
Kaner, is it hyphen? Has hyphen overtaken Jalen Wright right now at the number two spot in the running back position?
No, I wouldn't say that right now. It's unfortunate because
Justin Williams Thomas, for those of you out there,
Jalen Wright had a great spring and an awesome summer. I mean, he's well over 200 pounds now. He looks good, but he's not practiced yet. He's been banged up.
That's
right now.
That's my worry.
So it's kind of like you need to get back in there.
What did Hypel have to say about the depth right now and Jalen Wright in particular?
The young guy's progressing a little bit. Lynn J. Dixon is not ready. He just needs to know the offense. He's just not ready right now. If you were asking me right now,
I would say Dylan Sampson, a true freshman.
Really?
What?
Yes, he has burst onto the scene, having an incredible camp, had a really good scrimmage yesterday. But all those guys are going to play. But when he's healthy, it'll be Jalen Wright.
Okay, that's what I thought as well. That it's got to be Jalen Wright. I'm basing that off the spring, and Jerry Mack was so glowing and everything he said about Jalen, about Wright, that until I see Wright's not the guy that backs up Jabari Small and takes the first carry, I'm going to believe it's Jalen Wright.
Yeah, and again, I'll continue to say all those guys are going to play. And when Lynn J. Dixon gets the offense down, you would think he'd be a guy that's going to play a lot as well. But Jalen Wright right now would be Dylan Sampson because he's killing it. Hard Knocks, the Detroit Lions debut last night on HBO. Would you say you'll give the 17th season of the annual documentary series a shot this year?
I know Will will, because he loves what's happening with Dan Campbell in Detroit.
I think he's got the right idea about culture. It seems like from the outside. And so maybe this one I actually thought about this last night. Hey, maybe I'll watch this year. I have not watched in years.
I thought it was a Thursday night type situation.
I have not watched. I don't know what Sunday night. Yeah, it's Sunday night, I thought. So I thought the first one came out Sunday. I have not watched since, I'm trying to think of the last one I watched. I watched one episode in 2018. Otherwise, it was 2010, the last time I watched it.
More than a decade.
Yeah, that I've really watched a season.
Right.
No, 2014, I watched the Falcons one. So there was that one. But I'm interested in this because it looks like Campbell's a guy that's so concerned about culture. And I like what he's trying to do culturally. You also have to coach. And that's the thing that it doesn't seem like the Lions are getting. I would like to see that just to see if my thesis is accurate or if my thesis is wrong, but probably not.
No, you want to learn something about your co-host today? I haven't missed an episode of Hard Knocks in like 7 years.
Really?
That's embarrassing.
That's fine.
Have you watched the one on HBO or the one on Prime or whatever? The one that the Colts did last season
and then the Panthers did it. Yeah. Anything? I can't remember what it's called. But no, I didn't give it. Okay. I haven't given it a look. I love that inside mic'd up stuff. First time I saw Cincinnati and Chad Ochocinco kissed the baby. He goes to Claire's and gets fake rings to wear on the field, earrings because he don't want his expensive ones to fall out while he's playing. I thought that was just hilarious. Just the inside look documentary. So what I'll end up doing with Detroit, I'll wait till all of them come out, and then I'll binge it over an afternoon.
I used to watch it all the time. In my adult life, last 3-4 years, I've always said I'm going to. I watch the first, maybe the second episode, and then I forget about it. But I have heard some sound clips this morning from Dan Campbell, and let's just say I'm in.
I'm in. Let's be honest. He's football Gary Busey. That's what he is. Like, say crazy things.
I'm not a lunatic. I promise.
Say it to my face.
All-Pro linebacker Roquan Smith has requested a trade away for the Bears after expressing frustrations over contract negotiations. Would you say Chicago trades a second All-Pro defensive player in 4 years?
They made a mistake by trading Khalil Mack. They made a mistake of acquiring Khalil Mack from the Raiders. They ain't going to make this mistake twice. Roquan Smith is going to end up being the future of their defense. Their general manager will get it done. He's just another rookie right now who's frustrated because he has played his butt off for 4 years, 3 years.
100 tackles in 3 straight years, 14 career sacks.
The guy's an All-Pro for a reason. He just wants to get paid. The Bears try to get the finances worked out to make sure that him and Justin Fields are part of this team for the future. He'll get paid. He ain't getting traded.
I think he's getting traded because I don't think you pay a linebacker. And I don't think they're going to – I don't think they would have sent – whatever the offer was so bad, Roquan Smith went onto social media yesterday and put multiple paragraphs out there about why he wants to leave and he'd like to stay, but what was said out there was bad for the linebacking market as a whole. I think they don't want to pay the linebacker because you can win or lose. Roquan Smith can be amazing and you can still get your brains beat in every week. And they need to build up the front. It seems like to me Chicago's a franchise where the front office and ownership maybe aren't on the same page.
Never are.
Because you're building to the off. You're drafting players to be better offensively. Wrong. You hire a defensive coach that doesn't care about it. And
that's been the issue when I was in Iowa covering the Bears.
It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So I don't know that that's the case. But I mean, you would know more than I do. It just looks like that. It's disjointed. I think they trade Roquan Smith because I think you can get a lot for Roquan Smith. Yeah. Somebody will pay him, and you can get draft capital back, which the Bears need.
Yep. The general manager came out yesterday and said, we are not trading Roquan Smith, so we'll see what happens in this standstill. He didn't say he was going to hold out, right?
No.
I mean, he's in training camp and all that, so yeah. Yep. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Big fan of Roquan Smith. After multiple days of questions, Commanders head coach Ron Rivera told the media Tuesday he's not overly concerned with Carson Wentz's accuracy issues early in camp.
Okay.
Would you say Washington makes the postseason in 2022?
I would not. And I get a lot of respect for Ron Rivera.
Carson Wentz inaccuracy issues. Okay.
Yeah, Carson Wentz is not going to stay healthy. And he was not as bad last year as people think that he was. But he's not going to stay healthy.
Right.
And I don't think they have enough around Carson Wentz, even if he is healthy. And even if he does fix the accuracy issues, he's not going to be the reason they don't make the postseason.
Right.
That trash roster is going to be the reason they don't make the postseason.
That defense, though, in
it's
D.C.
It's great. But the offensive roster is not great. And I also think Dallas, Philadelphia, both finishing ahead of them.
Big Blue?
No. We're not there.
Big Blue?
6-11 this year. Ooh. That's a step in the right direction.
You're right. Will Levis is just waiting for you there at 5 next year.
Oh, gosh.
I was there when Daniel Jones was drafted. I want to be there if Will Levis gets drafted if by Will Levis your gets drafted, New York Giants.
My gosh.
Well, see you guys at Twin Peaks next April. Say,
we cannot be on the air if Will Levis gets drafted with a top 10 pick. I'll be fired immediately.
Joel, get your camera ready.
With the news coming out of a contract extension being signed by Sean McVay, it's not been made public yet, but would you say that Sean McVay is going to be the highest paid coach in the NFL?
You ready for this? Details have not come out yet. I bet Sean McVay is the highest paid coach in the NFL when it's all said and done. Belichick makes 12. I bet McVay makes a penny over or a million over, or whatever it may be. He's the youngest coach to appear in a Super Bowl, youngest coach to win the Super Bowl. Dude, he's 35 years old. He's going to be the highest paid coach over Belichick when this is all. Kroenke's going to make him the highest paid coach.
I think he's going to be number two. I don't think that they put him ahead of Belichick. I think he's okay being behind Belichick. Kroenke is notorious for not paying people. Now, he seems to have done a little better, right?
Yep.
But he's notorious for not paying people, and I think that he ends up being behind Belichick, so I'll say no, he is not.
Boys, we ended up doing an audible on the fly here because it's about NFL coaches who ended up needing to be extended. Will, I just did an extensive search, finished up my search last two or three this morning. If you're not a brand-new head coach, if you've been hired in the last two or three years, you've essentially locked your head coach up. He was the last one. McVay was the last one who needed to be locked up, and he's now officially locked up. So unless you're a coach who's been hired this year or the last 2 to 3 years, every coach, Carroll, Reed, they're all locked up.
Tomlin signed last November.
Exactly.
Arthur Smith?
Vrabel just got his.
Well, he was hired.
Yeah, he was officially hired.
I would say this. It's not Arthur Smith's fault, but Arthur Smith's about to get fired. And literally none of that is Arthur Smith's fault.
It's going to be Marcus Mariota's fault.
Well, it's going to be it's the front office.
It's like
Dimitroff set them behind where last year and this year they eat poison pills and their salary cap situation's decimated, and now you're having to pay the piper and you have nobody on your team.
You have a trash roster.
They went 7-10 last year. The Falcons did. They're going to go 3-14 this year.
No, they'll win more than three games. This is the NFL. They'll win more than three games.
They'll go 5-12 this year.
Yeah, I'd say that at least.
All right, so you go 7-10, 5-12. That's going to get you fired in 2 years when you've had a trash roster.
I think so.
It definitely will. Yeah. I feel like
I think it will, and I think he'll be back with the Titans as the offensive coordinator next year. And
I will take it.
You take it all day long.
Will West, you were walking out of the Budweiser Studios this morning. You looked down at the highlighters I've got on. You said, "Man, I like those 890s," and I said, "Those come recommended by my girl Sharon over at New Balance Knoxville."
New Balance Knoxville, the suburban shopping center, the perfect fit every time. Wide sizes, extra wide sizes. As they have them, you love the styles and colorways that they have for the fall coming up at New Balance Knoxville.
Tyler, Will, I need to know what I missed from last night. What's in the news? Well, it's called the Morning Buzz. We got it for you next. Hour 2's on the way here on the starting lineup. 99.1, the sports animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.